we lack in our knowledge of the will of God. Christianity is a lot of things. It's Christ's likeness. There's emotion in salvation. We've seen that tonight. There's rejoicing. And being Christian, there's hope. And there's peace beyond words. Jesus Christ said, I'm coming that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. He said He's able to, we have peace, abundant peace, joy, all those things. But in the light, in Christianity, in Christ, we also have instruction in righteousness. In righteousness is the altogether opposite of wickedness and worldliness.
Right.
And understand this, that God didn't just save me and give me a home in heaven and forgive me for all of my sin so that I could wallow in the old sin flesh like an old hog would. God saved me and redeemed me from that wicked life. And it's a shame today that we have so few folks that understand that.
That's right.
Listen, and we have a superficial, artificial, created type of emotionalism and things. And these folks, they're some well-intended people, but they're utterly confused in how they worship God.
Yeah.
And they've messed things up for themselves. And what they've done is they've gone on a downward spiral that doesn't end in a good place. And tonight, as always, it's my desire to make sure that our church, every once in a while you've got to pull the map out. You know, every once in a while you've got to get the map out and you've got to look at the map and you've got to make sure you're on the right course. You know that, don't you? If you go somewhere, you go on a long trip, and you find yourself wandering around the block, you got to stop and figure things out and make sure you're headed in the right course. Well, we know we're on the right course as far as the gospel goes. Amen.
Amen.
For I'm going to say to the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know tonight, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we've got it right from the gospel.
Right.
And listen, I believe this tonight, there's some other things that we're right about, and we need to stay right. And it is by God's grace and by God's glory that God has given us some wisdom and knowledge in things. And we don't need to allow the world to tarnish that and deter us from the course God would have for us.
That's right.
Ezekiel chapter 13 is a very interesting verse there. In chapter 20, in chapter 13, and verse number 22. Well, actually, we'll begin at verse 19. Nice, if you're able to stand with me, stand. And we'll read a couple verses together. Ezekiel dealt with some problems in his ministry. And the primary problem I think Ezekiel dealt with was preachers, prophets of God,
yeah.
Those who called good evil and evil good. I'll show you a verse in a minute after we read our text and after we sit down. But I'll show you a verse that illustrates that. But let's read together in chapter 13, verse 19 says, and will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live. That's a very direct statement, amen. By your lying to my people that hear your lies. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly. And will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear, and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 22, this I did, these pillows, these kerchiefs, this was a more or less a prop that these prophets of God, false prophets were using to deceive the people. Verse 22 says, because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad.
Yeah.
With lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity, nor divine divination, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
Those are interesting verses we just read.
And I believe they deserve a moment of our time to consider tonight. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you tonight to bless. And God, I pray that you enable us to preach, Lord, in spite of any physical impairment. I pray, Lord, that you give us clarity of mind and speech. I pray, Father, that you would bless tonight. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And dear Heavenly Father, we rely completely upon you to make this time profitable for us. Help us tonight. Thank you, God, for your blessings. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you, dear Lord God, for the wonderful music there, Lord, our sister. They're with us today tonight to help us, Lord. Thank you for allowing her to come. And thank you, God, for the hearts of the people, Lord. Thank you most of all for the joyful sound that comes forth from the mouth of redeemed saints of God, that we can sing together in unison, dear Lord God, and lift our voices to heaven in sweet accord. And thank you for the hope of heaven that we have someday that we'll see you. We'll look upon your face, dear Lord God, and we'll walk through those streets of gold, dear Lord God, that gate of pearl. Thank you tonight, dear Heavenly Father, for the nearness of heaven. Thank you for your presence with us all the time. Bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may have a seat. Turn over to Ezekiel 22, if you would. Ezekiel chapter 22. Verse number 23 of chapter 22 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravaging the prey. They have devoured souls." Did you hear what he said? There's a conspiracy among the prophets. Like roaring lions, they have devoured the prey. Sounds to me like the prophets, the so-called prophets of the land, the supposed prophets of God, had got together with the intention of doing harm to the people of God. And maybe even for their own prophet's sake, they were put together preaching that would hurt God's people rather than help God's people.
Right.
Says there is a conspiracy for prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things and have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar. The word untempered mortar means something that it's mortar that's new, hasn't been proven yet.
Right.
It's not ready yet. This platform that I stand on here, God, I set up down on state of oath. You can see, Brother Paul, this thing is heavy.
Right.
Every board in this platform is oak. Every one of them. It's heavier. It's not as heavy now as it was the day we made it. The day we made it, my dad and my brother and I don't know who else was around. If you were around then, Jake, that you might have been. You weren't quite as big and hefty as you are now, but you might have been around. We've done that, but this wood here come fresh off the sawmill. I mean, it went to the sawmill fresh from the forest, from the trees where we cut it down. Or like my boys say, when I take them for a walk in the woods, if we get in between six trees, we're in the jungle. We're walking in the jungle, Daddy. And I said, "That's right, girl. What's that? We're in the jungle." But these old boards, we cut them, and boy, they were green when we nailed them down. And my dad done a lot of woodwork, and he liked to work with green wood. Amen. He didn't like to wait for it to dry. He didn't have time to wait for that wood to dry. He just used it anyway. Amen. And this wood, boy, this was heavy. It took all we had to load it in the back of the pickup truck. I mean, and we grunted and picked and pulled and done everything. And what happened was it began to dry, it began to shrink, and it began age.
Yeah.
It's predictable. I don't have to worry about standing up here and the screws coming loose and pop me in the head. I know what to expect when I stand on this platform. But
yeah.
Untempered mortar was more than it has been proven. They didn't know if it would work or not, but it was convenient for the cause at hand, so they went ahead and used it. And listen, there's a whole lot of things that are going on today in Christianity that are convenient for the so-called preacher,
yeah.
but they're not convenient for the cause of Christ.
No.
It's untempered mortar.
Right.
It's new stuff that's not been proven. It's not been tried, and we have no idea what's going to come from it. But we're starting to see what's coming from it.
Yeah,
it doesn't look good. Amen?
Right.
The Bible goes on to say, for prophets, verse 28, have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies into them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy, yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way of a recompense upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Every time, it's so important when you see God dealing with people, it's so important to take notice of that word recompense.
Yeah.
He said, I've recompensed their own way upon their heads. Listen, you've got to understand that God doesn't send the evil. God allows evil to come back from which it was sent.
Right.
Listen, it's the mercy of God that intervenes in my life and your life that keeps our wild oats from coming back to us. Amen. Listen, the Bible says that the law of nature says that the law of sowing and reaping, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. But thank God for the mercy of God and the grace of God that intervenes in the reaping process, and we don't reap all the sowing that we've sown. And God is merciful and gracious, and He's able to undo the evil that we have done, the past, present, and future. Amen.
Amen.
But listen, when God allows wrath to come and judgment to come, He's simply allowing recompense. What you've already done just comes back to you if you don't seek mercy from God.
Right.
And God is merciful. If there's one thing about God, God's just. God's merciful. God's long-suffering. God's gracious.
Yes.
Here, though, Ezekiel is dealing with a problem. He's dealing with the religious people, preachers, church people,
right.
that want to water down the things of God, and they want to change the things of God. And they want to revise the things of God. They want to bring in some new way to do things. And God's not for that. The Bible says, meddle not with them that are given to change.
Right.
I want you to know tonight, beyond any shadow of a doubt, I want you to know that you're an old-fashioned, Bible-believing Baptist church.
Yeah.
Listen, the emphasis, though, is on the fact that it's old-fashioned, but it's Bible-believing. Listen, you can take out anything else, but we're Bible-believers tonight.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I believe we're old-fashioned. I like the old times singing that we do around here. Amen.
Yeah.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, Amazing Grace will never grow old for me. I'll never hear it enough. I love Blessed Assurance Jesus is mine.
Right.
I tell you what, I think it's a pretty good testimony that that young man right there, that striped shirt named Malachi Booth, when he asked for a song to sing, he requested, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Malachi, if you're ever in charge around here, you just keep requesting the same song. Amen. And everything will be all right. That's what it's all about tonight. Listen, hey, there's enough of this change, and we got to have this new stuff and these new ways, brother. God never said we had to have all that new untempered mortar. Listen, old David, when he went out to fight the Philistine, King Saul said, here you go, son, put on the armor. Boy, this will take care of you. And King David put that armor on. He said, I'm not proving thee.
No.
He said, I know that this sling works. He said, I don't know if this armor works or not.
No.
He said, I ain't sure how to use the sword, King. He said, but I don't sure know how to use this old sling.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I don't know that I can ever figure out, glorify. I know I don't want to, but I ain't sure I can ever master all these new versions of the Bible. But I tell you what, I got one right here that I'll never master. Listen, God still uses it anyhow.
Amen.
Listen, we got a he was voting I used to bail hay for him, and then he got me to work at his butcher shop for him whenever he had me do that, and then he'd send me out to clear brush off the hillside, and I don't know why he liked me, except for the fact that when I went to work for him, I worked until it was done, and I guess he liked that. And most generally, any employer will like a guy that works till the job's done. That's something new that's in today's society that's been forgotten. He always paid me for working too, and nowadays you're supposed to pay people for not working, but that's just all different, all this type of stuff. But I was in there with him one time in the shop, and he said, "Now look," he said, "now this is the way it is." He with me. He said, "I'm not smart enough to understand the King James Bible." He said, "And listen, I love it." He said, "There's words in there that I don't know." In the church, some salesman, some sharp theological salesman, had come along and sold him this lie. Listen, he said, "There's words in there that I can't understand. There's things I don't know." He said, "So somebody got me this Bible." He said, "It's got five different verses in it, one after the other." He said, "So if I run up on a verse I don't understand, I can just read it in another version." But who's to say the guy that pinned down that other version, who's to say he had it right? Amen? Mm-hmm. We don't know that he had it right. Listen, if there's one God, then why don't we just accept the one book that the one God wrote? And I tell you what else, there's one Spirit, and that Spirit's the Holy Spirit. And the moment God saved me, He put His Spirit in me.
Amen.
And listen, it's not for you to teach me what that book says, and it's not necessarily for me to teach you what that book says. Listen, hey, but you can study that book all on your own. You don't got to have me, and you don't have to have some fancy revision of the Bible. You just need to sit down with your God, the Holy Spirit, who's the author of the book, and let Him teach you what it says.
Amen.
But he told me, he said, "Now," he said, "I use these knives, the metal handle." He said, "Now my brother, the butcher, he uses bone handle knives." He said, "But it don't matter," he said, "as long as we get the meat off the bone." Well, I want to tell you what, listen, that sounds pretty good, but it's true when it comes to butcher knives, the butcher and meat. But I'll tell you what, it's like a fellow that grabbed Brother Hudson down at the post office one day. He said, "Oh, Kurt, Hudson, you are." He said, "Yeah," that's my name, Brother Hudson. He said, "I've heard about you." He said, "You're one of the fellows that preaches only one way to heaven, aren't you?" He said, "I sure am." He said, "Well, I think I got you this time." He said, "Where are we?" He said, "We're at the post office." He said, "How'd you get here?" And he commenced to tell him the route which he took to the post office. He said, "Well, I'll have you know I didn't come the same way." He said, "That proves that there's more than one way to get to the post office." And he said, "Exactly." He said, "But I'll tell you what, brother." He said, "When I die, I'm not planning on going to the post office. I'm going to heaven." Amen. Yeah. And there's only one way to heaven. That's the old blood-stained trail that Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come to the Father but by me." And I'm glad tonight to know that I didn't find the way, but I was found in the way, and God put me on the way, and I'm on my way to a better place. And I know tonight there is only one way. Listen, it's not an exclusive way. It's the way whereby God said, "For whosoever shall call the Lord shall be saved." Oh, tonight, listen, we've been sold some lies. And I want to just tell you that the new versions, they're not as good as the old King James.
That's right, yeah.
You say, but they're close ain't good enough.
Amen.
If it's close, why not just go ahead and get the good one? Amen. Why? Listen, why fail? Things, you know, things that are different are not the same. Listen, if I run out there and piss my wife and get somebody else and set fire, I'm in trouble nonetheless. Amen. Listen, I better make sure I'm in the right place. Listen, and when I get a hold of this book right here, why not just go ahead and get the one that God used down through the
years?
Today, listen, folks, it's just, but it'll help. I'm not so sure that it's helping this generation of Christians very well, are you?
That's right.
I'm not so sure that it's helping our country, are you? I kind of think that we were doing better 100 years ago than we are now. In 1901, we introduced into our culture the ASV, American Standard Version of the Bible.
Yeah.
Our President McKinley was assassinated the very same year. Then we went from there to 1914, 1915, 1916, 17, leading up to the First World War. And we lost many men in World War I, and our country was open, the doors open, that we went into the 1930s into a Great Depression, and from there we went to World War II. From there, Korean War. Then we went to Vietnam. Then we went into the wars that we're into now in the Middle East. And I think that ever since we introduced the other versions into our country, and now there's 40 or 50 different ones, all we've had is problems and problems and problems.
Right.
I tell you what, if you go back to the 1800s, you say, Richard, we had a war in the 1800s. I tell you what, we had a revival in the 1800s.
Yes,
it may have been that war we had was a tool of the devil to stop some of those revivals. Hey, there was Bible preaching going on in the southern states of America. There was revival going on. There was old-fashioned Bible preachers, but there was a group of Unitarians and atheists and Catholics and so forth in the north that didn't like the revival that was going on in the south, and they began to work against it, and they began to impose federalism upon the government, and we lost a whole lot of revival we were told in the 1800s. Old Billy Sunday come along, and he preached, and they sang a song about Billy Sunday. It was Chicago, Chicago, the town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down. Listen, you ever heard the Abbott, the three Stooges talk about the water wagon? They say, get on the water wagon. Old Billy Sunday coined that term, get on the water wagon. He'd go preach in cities, and they shut down the alcohol traffic.
Yeah.
Old Billy Sunday said, when I die, he said, Ma, he called his wife, he said, Ma, he said, I want you to skin me. He said, I want you to tan my hide. He said, I want you to make drum covers out of my hide. And he said, make drums, march up and down the streets of the city, and hire somebody to march up down St. Billy Sunday, hate the dirty, rotten liquor traffic.
Yeah.
Hey, what? I tell you what Bible he preached. He preached the King James Bible.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of men walked the aisle, and the old sawdust deputy, and men were saved. Revivals were spawned. Old D.L. Moody, he preached the King James Bible.
Yeah.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon got saved when he was 14 years old.
Right.
By the time he was 19 years old, he was preaching to crowds of 20,000 plus in London, England. A cabby one time picked up a fella in England. The fella said, I'd like to go down and see the Spurgeon Tabernacle. He said, Lonnie, I'll have you to know. He said, it's a soul trap down there. He said, what do you mean a soul trap? He said, I'll have you to know. They'll preach the gospel to you, and you may not leave the same way you come in. Amen.
Yeah.
I tell you what, when them multitudes of people come to hear Spurgeon preach, he opened up the King James Bible.
Yeah.
And souls were saved, and lives were changed. Why? Because it's been proven, that's why.
Amen.
This is some lies sold to modern Christianity.
Right.
I hope and pray with all my heart. I hope and pray you'll not believe those lies.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
I talk to people one on one. I don't yell at them. I try to help them.
Right.
Yeah. It sounds cute, but I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't help the cause of Christ in this modern time to stand up and say, open your King James Bible, and if you got something else, throw it in the trash. Those folks don't understand.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, that sounds cute, but I tell you what, it hurts the cause.
That's right.
Because here's why. Those folks have heard the lie, they've been told the lie, and they don't know any better. But it's our job, it's our duty to carefully instruct them and teach
that's
them.
Right.
I don't want my kids playing with knives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when I see them, I don't kick them in the teeth.
Yeah.
I take the knife away from them and explain to them why you don't play with knives.
Right.
And I may not be able to take it away from you, but I can explain to you why it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it assaults the deity of Christ.
Right.
These new verses assault the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
They take away from the authority of the Scriptures.
Amen.
You ever been a part of anything where there was no authority?
Yeah.
You ever seen a family where there's a bunch of kids and the kids are in charge? You ever seen that before?
Amen. Right.
You ever seen that happen?
Right.
There's got to be authority.
Right.
You ever seen a marriage where the husband and wife fight continually and no one knows who's in charge and they're all the way throwing out insults and inquisitions of one another? There's got to be some authority.
Right.
Yeah. And if there's no authority in the church, then there's problems.
Right.
The preacher pray tell who is the authority. How about if I just tell you what the authority is? The authority in the church is the Word of God.
Right.
And there's got to be a foundation upon which we stand.
Right.
I believe with all my heart tonight that foundation is the foundation that's been proven.
Right.
And that's our old King James Bible.
Amen.
And you got to understand that's why it's on the sign out there. It's not the insult or the hurt folks who heard the lie. It's on there. Listen, but I don't know. But I don't know everything about you, and you don't know anything about me.
Uh-huh.
But it's not about me, or it's about not about my opinion. It's not about, see, because so and so, and boy, they're so smart. You got to watch out, folks. Because there's some lies floating around.
That's right. Amen.
May I ask you a question? The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion.
That's right.
If that be true, then who is?
Yeah.
God's not the author of confusion.
Right. Amen.
There's confused people.
Yeah.
Let me just illustrate that to you. If I ask you to take your Bible, I'm not. But if I ask you to take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel 14, verse 3, and I begin to read, and your Bible doesn't say what my Bible says, is that confusion?
Right.
If your Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is born of a young woman and mine teaches that he was born of a virgin, is that not confusion?
That's right.
With all due respect, there's a difference between a young woman and a virgin.
Right.
If Jesus Christ is born of a young woman solely and not of a virgin birth, then we don't have a Savior, we have a legitimate Savior.
Right.
And that puts us in bad shape.
Yeah.
We had a sinless Savior, the Son of God, who died on Calvary.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to believe a lie that allows me to swallow a verse of Scripture that denies the sovereignty and the holiness of my God.
Amen.
That's number two. Number one is the lie that we need the world's music to attract the crowds of people.
Yeah.
The verse said this. Because of lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad. For I have not made sad. And strengthened the hands of the wicked that he should not return from his wicked way. You understand that what I'm saying tonight? I'm not saying, let's get rid of all those people, let's throw them off. I'm not saying that tonight. I'm not saying that what I'm preaching is popular. And if you're here tonight and you disagree, I'm not saying go on and get out of here. I'm not saying that.
No, right. Right.
But I'm not going to say to the people who have trod the old paths, I'm not going to say to the people who have followed the old ways all of their Christian life, and even before they were saved, and all they've ever known is the old way, I'm not going to say to them, you're wrong, we need to be tolerant and embrace the new way, because that's what the Lord would have us to do. Listen, if I said that, I'm not saying what it would do to me. If I said that to you, how would you feel? It's happening all over the place in church. Old saints of God have attended church from their youth up. And they've gone to Sunday school classes where they heard the King James Bible. And they've sat in pews where they've heard the songs and the hymns, the spiritual songs. They've heard blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. They've heard those songs all their life. They've heard sweet hour prayer. Listen, and now they go to church and they hear that those songs no longer attract the crowd, and they've got to use different songs. And now they hear that the piano no longer is sufficient to draw the crowd, so they've got to get a band, and much less a rock and roll band. And they've got to get the screens up here, and they've got to dab the music up so loud that when you walk out, you don't know if you was in a honky tonk or in a church house. That is not the truth. That is a lie.
Amen.
I believe with all my heart tonight that the only thing you need to draw a crowd is the old black book. Jesus Christ said, if I be into that, I'll draw all men into me. Brother, I'm going to tell you this. If you're saved tonight, you've been redeemed. The largest crowd you'll ever be a part of is that crowd that gathers around the throne of grace every day. And we'll all be there to give glory and honor and allegiance to the Lamb of God. Glory to the foundation. I guarantee it. There won't be no rock and roll music there.
Yeah.
That's a lie of the devil.
Right.
From the pit of hell.
If it was the truth, I wouldn't do it anyway. But it's a lie.
Yeah. Right, preacher.
You see where the ball's coming out of the wig on? Turn the lights down, put strobe lights in. I read an article. Listen, I never brought this to you, but I read it. I want to just paraphrase it. A fellow wrote this. I just hit on my computer, Modern Worship Trends. A fellow wrote an essay in there. He said, we who are part of the modern contemporary Christian movement. He said, we who are part of the modern contemporary movement are the ones. He said, we don't realize it. He said, but we are where, he He said, we are where the old fogies were when we first started. He said, now we who are part of the contemporary church movement, he said, we're the old fogies now. He said, we need to realize, he said, that when we started, they sang songs and boring stuff and hymns and we didn't like it. So we introduced loud music and fast music and we introduced these things. He said, we don't understand. Times have changed. And he said, the modern churchgoers, the young people of today, he said, they don't like that. He said, they like dark auditoriums. And he said, they like candles everywhere. And he said, they like spirit ritualistic songs. Sounds to me like Satan worship.
Yeah.
And if you'll study it, and as I have, you'll find that it is Satan worship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
There's a movement from England that's sweeping across this country, and this has come into our churches, and all it is pagan worship in so-called the name of Christ, and there's no end to it.
That's right.
Same is true with the Bible. There's no end to them. A modern revision of the NIV study Bible says that the reason why God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah was because when the angels went into the city, the people weren't hospitable. They weren't hospitable to the people. The reason God destroyed the city was because they were Sodomites and they tried to take advantage of the angels.
That's right. Exactly why.
They'll seek to call sin sin, to water it over.
Yeah.
You understand tonight? When I grew up here at Old Pastor preaching, I grew up the old time ways, and listen, I think that was right. I don't think I've changed. I don't want to change anything.
Yeah.
I hope there's enough people here to kind of understand and say, well, we love the old, brother Brown, but he's done more lost his mind. We better get rid of him. And if we can't get rid of him, pray God will take you on home and put you out of misery. Amen? We don't come to church to be indoctrinated into the world. We don't come to church to teach our children the ways of the world. We come to church to take our children out of the world for a little while and teach them the ways of heaven.
Amen.
We come to church to teach them the ways of glory. Listen, I just believe tonight that we're right, and I believe the Bible says we're right, and whether we're the majority of the minority, it doesn't matter, because someday we're going to stand with Him, and I know He's right.
Amen.
That settles it.
That's right.
The lie of the devil, we need the world's music to attract the crowds. The lie of the devil, we need new translations to understand God's Word. Listen, I've heard both saints of God couldn't even read. And they asked God to help them to read. And they took their Bible and they took their English dictionary and they began to read and study. And God gave them understanding.
Uh-huh.
Don't believe the lie that you need some two-bit scholar somewhere to rewrite your Bible for you.
That's right.
Listen. They fought for the right to have this Bible. I have a book written by an old girl, written by an old girl named Edith. The title of the book is In Edith's Day. And she tells how her daddy got saved and her mother, a Roman Catholic, was steeped in the rituals of the church. And they took her daddy, found a man in the community that had a Bible, and he would go over there and he would read that Bible. And the man hid the Bible in the walls of his house for fear that the monks and cardinals would come and take it from him. And they would go and read, and one time she slipped off with her daddy, and he made her promise she wouldn't tell her mommy where they were going. And they went over there and they read and studied the Bible together. And she tells how that at one point in time that either she or her father won, they found her with the Bible, and they branded an H in her cheek, heretic, for having a copy of the Bible. One time they took and they buried her father in the ground up to his neck. They condemned him as a heretic for having a copy of the Bible because they didn't want the English people to have their own Bible. And today we've allowed them to take our Bible away through subtle lies.
Right.
It's hard to find a church anymore where you can go in here and get old-fashioned preaching and singing.
Right.
You go in and they start to sing and somebody gets up and says, all right, it's time for the praise team. And they start carrying on a bunch of ungodly stuff. God pity you. You've already been. Listen, God didn't call me to preach 20 years ago. He called me to preach now. I wish I could preach before everybody swallowed the lie, but I'm preaching in the midst of it.
Yeah.
You ever catch a fish and you try to get the hook out and it's deep way in that, you know, fellow world fish swallowed the hook?
Yeah.
You got to dig and try to get the hook out. It's a sight easier just to reach in there and get the hook out so as it gets set. But listen, I'm preaching today, Brother Daniel, we're preaching today when they swallowed the hook.
Yeah.
The Lord, I mean, listen, they supposed to swallow the hook.
Yeah.
The line, the sinker. And they like it. And they don't even know that there's something in them that's going to rip the very innards out of them and destroy their faith.
Yeah.
But we don't have to believe the lie.
That's right.
The third lie of the devil is, and I'm not going to stay home on it, I'm going to say it though, is that we can't teach or have any standards for Christian living in the 21st century. They teach that we can't have any standards of Christian living. You know, listen, I believe tonight that we can still teach and preach that marriage is about a husband and a wife. I believe that.
Yeah.
But listen, you understand that tonight that if we don't preach that those children right there are going to grow up in a country that endorses the marriage of men and endorses the marriage of two women?
Yeah.
They're not hearing any different at school, I tell you.
That's right.
They're not hearing it in the newspaper.
No.
They're not going to hear it in the news in on the television set. They're not going to primetime television. It's going to show them normal, everyday men living together as husband and whatever else, and they're going to show women living together as wife and whatever else, and they're going to try to sell them that as an acceptable lifestyle. And brother, it is an abomination before God.
Yes.
It's not acceptable. We live in a society today that says it's okay to drink, and it's okay to drug, and it's okay to live any way you want to. It's okay to run around and be immodest and immoral, but it's not okay to be immodest and immoral. Listen, God wants us to do things right. God teaches marriage as a relationship between a husband and a wife, whereby they enter into a covenant before there is any physical relationship. And God blesses and honors such a relationship. And God Almighty provides and blesses and encourages that. That's what we've got to teach our children. That's not acceptable today. That's not honorable today. It doesn't matter. It's the lie of the devil. It's the lie of so-called religious people to say it's okay to live anyway. It's okay to downgrade the idea of holiness. It's not okay.
That's right.
Amen. They say, and the old devil says sometimes to this preacher and other preachers, you just can't preach standards and you can't preach any kind of rights and people don't want to hear it.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah. You know what? I believe different.
Amen.
Amen. Right. I believe if I taught my daughter to walk backwards when she's 21, she won't thank me for it. If I taught her that the only way to walk was backwards and she spent the rest of her life like this, and she thought it was okay, I'd fail her.
That's right.
I didn't teach her to walk forwards.
That's right.
That's, you know that there's a right way to do everything?
That's right.
If you teach your teenage child to drive on the wrong side of the road, you haven't done them a favor. Yeah. They'll drive bad enough anyway, especially if it's a girl. You teach them that. Listen, there's a right lane and there's a left lane. There's a yellow line in the middle, and you're supposed to stay on your side of the yellow line and in between the yellow line and the white line.
Yeah.
Why is it that we can give driving instructions, but we're not supposed to give living instructions anymore? I'll tell you why. God blesses righteousness.
Yes, He does. Amen.
Righteousness exalts a nation. What's the verse say?
But sin is
reproach.
Any people
thereof. Yeah. All I'm here tonight to say is in closing, the devil has many a lie that he would love for his people to swallow. You're in the church tonight where by God's grace the preacher doesn't intend to swallow the lies. I believe that there are some ladies and gentlemen here in this church who have no intention to swallow those lies. Listen, I'm going to love the people that have. I may not love the ones that sell lies. I have to be honest with you. I have a hard time with people who try to pervert the right ways. But I'm going to try to love the ones who bought the lie. Some of them have done it ignorantly.
That's true.
They've sat in church and they've seen the church change and they thought it was okay because the crowds were still coming.
That's right, brother.
But I'm going to tell you, on a dead possum on the side of the road attracts a crowd. Yeah. But it ain't a very good crowd.
That's right.
I tell you what, I believe that there's a right way, and the book teaches the right way.